We've been talking about it all week on the programme. Tonight is the second semi-final, heading to the final in Austria, in Vienna, on Saturday night. Israel, the source of all the controversy, have qualified already. No Ireland, it won't be on television. One listener gets in touch and says, "Jerry, I haven't watched the Eurovision since Dustin the Turkey." Well, there you go. 166 million people watched it last year. It is huge in terms of global televisual events, that's for sure. So you're in the minority, I'm afraid, listener. Jerry, Angela Scanlon, who's also Irish, co-hosted the BBC coverage of the first semi-final. Graham Norton is the host for the final. So no, we're not all against Israel's participation in Eurovision. No doubt those who love Eurovision watched it on the BBC. RTE took a unilateral decision not to take part. That does not mean everyone agrees with that decision. RTE News and Primetime gave huge coverage to this boycott last night. Typical of RTE, talking to themselves. Most people are bored and uninterested by RTE journalists in interviewing each other, says the listener. Well, there's a lot to unpack in that comment. We're going to talk Eurovision now. And before we do, I want you to have a listen to this.
We're higher and higher and higher, reaching for divinity. Euphoria, forever to the end of time. From now on,
Johnny Logan returning to the Eurovision as a celebrated performer during the 2024 edition of the Eurovision Song Contest in Malmo in Sweden, singing one of the best Eurovision song winners, certainly of the last number of years, Euphoria. With me on the line to talk about what's happening right now with this edition of the Eurovision, this controversial edition of the Eurovision, is Seamus O'Neill of the I'm Sorry 0 Points podcast, who's in Vienna. Seamus, good morning to you. And let me put this argument to you right out the gate this morning. That moment of Johnny Logan singing that song in Eurovision 2024 was the high point for the competition. Ever since then, it's become mired in controversy, hasn't it?
Good morning, Jerry, from Vienna. That was a high point, I guess, yes, but it was also a very difficult contest, that contest in 2024. If you remember, that was in Malmo. We had Bambi Thug representing us.
That's right.
Was probably
it wasn't without controversy,
start.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the start of maybe the past, that year, last year in Basel, and then this year. It's been a very strange experience for a Eurovision fan, I must say. I remember distinctly being in Malmo, in the arena, and as the Israeli artist came out to perform in 2024, and the reaction in the arena between the cheers and the booing was the strangest experience I've ever experienced, because I've been to Eurovision a few times. This is my 9th contest to come to, and it's always been a positive, joyful experience about the music. But over the past 3 years, that has all changed, as we all know.
Yeah, and it's culminated with the boycott and the fact that it's not on television in Ireland now. I mean, you've been out there, you went to the rehearsals last night, I think you're going to the semi-final tonight. What's the atmosphere been like, Seamus? What has it been like out there on the ground? Are people bothered? 5 countries not involved, Spain, one of the big countries amongst those, and ourselves, Ireland here. Israel qualified, of course, so they'll be there on Saturday night. So what's it all feeling like out there on the ground in Vienna?
Yeah, I think it's from an Irish perspective, it's a very strange feeling, obviously, because we're not here, we're not in the contest. So usually, to give you an example, usually every year at every Eurovision, there'd be anywhere from kind of 200 to 500 Irish Eurovision fans attending the Eurovision. This year, I think there's probably not even maybe 50 Irish Eurovision fans here in Vienna. So, you know, that just shows the kind of interest this year amongst the Irish fans. It's just not there. They're not happy with the contest at the moment. They're very much not happy with the EBU and how they've handled everything. So it is a very strange year as an Irish fan. On the ground here, there is a good atmosphere. You know, Austria and the Austrian broadcaster ORF are putting on a really good show. There's a lot of events and kind of open air events that the public can attend. There's a huge Eurovision village in the center of Vienna. There's a Eurovision club, and then there's lots of other side events. So there's lots of things to get involved in as a Eurovision fan. I was at the arena last night at the rehearsal show for tonight's semi-final too. And I suppose, again, a great show was put on. Heavy security. So when I arrived at the arena, the first thing they do is scan your ticket and they check your ID against the ticket. Then you get into another queue and that's a security check. So it's very much like an airport security where you empty all your pockets. You're kind of patted down and scanned down before you're then allowed into the arena. And there's visibly a lot of police presence around the arena as well. So, you know, that's, I suppose that's the sign of the times. You know, at any huge event, you have these kind of checks, but there is even more of a security presence this year compared to previous Eurovisions, I would say.
Yeah, and that's all part of why we are where we are, Seamus, in relation to it. Where do you think this leaves the Eurovision, both for this edition of it on Saturday night and where it goes from here? Because the more it goes on, the more this goes on, the more what ostensibly is a song contest is being dragged into the mire of global politics.
Yeah, for sure. It's absolutely been dragged into the global politics situation, and it's just becoming less about the music, which is, again, from a Eurovision fan perspective, that's very annoying because,
really disappointing.
You know, for us, it's all about the music, and it should be all about the music, but unfortunately it's not. And I think a lot of the Eurovision fans are annoyed with the EBU and just how they've kind of handled or mishandled everything. You know, all the fans want to be here to enjoy the music together, but a situation has been created where it's hard to enjoy that, and there has been for sure reputational damage for Eurovision and for the EBU. And you know, we have now Ireland and the other four countries that are boycotting: the Netherlands, Spain, Slovenia and Iceland. You know, some of those countries are not showing the contest, like Ireland, and others are showing it. But for example, I know the Netherlands showed semi-final one, but their viewing figures were way down. Normally they would have something like 2.6 million watching last year, and this year they only had about 500,000 people watching semi-final one. Same in the UK, the viewing figures were down for semi-final one as well. So it'll be very interesting to see after Saturday's final. It'll be interesting to look at the viewing figures across all the countries, and also it'll be interesting to look at the voting and what happens with the voting, because there will be huge scrutiny and analysis on the voting, and particularly the vote going for Israel.
Yeah, and that's the other question, isn't it? Notwithstanding, you know, the controversy and whether Israel should be out or not, there's another question here, and it's about the competition's voting rules from what we saw last year. We already saw the Israeli broadcaster Kan being reprimanded by the EBU for their recommendation, their social media and other channels in Israel saying, oh, vote 10 times. You were allowed to vote 20 times last year, and strong suspicions that, you know, because it's such a global event and it's such a huge audience, that it's being used to art wash or artificially inflate to say, oh, the world supports us because they voted for our song. And that again is it's, you know, it's affecting the competition for what it's meant to be.
Yeah, for sure that's happening. We saw last year the Israeli government were involved in a campaign to garner votes. There was a funded campaign from the Israeli government to support and boost votes for the artist last year. And again, they kind of tried that again this year. Again, there was content with the Israeli artist, you know, advising people across the different countries to vote 10 times, which is illegal. You can ask people to vote, but you're not allowed to say, you know, give me your 10 votes.
How many times?
Give Israel their 10 votes.
Yeah.
Or give any one particular country your 10 votes. You're not allowed to do that. So earlier this week, the EBU kind of wrote a strongly worded letter to the Israeli broadcaster Kan to remind them they're not allowed to do that and to remove all of those kind of posts. So there will be a lot of scrutiny on the voting after the results come through Saturday night and into Sunday morning. That will be, for sure, be analysed. Because that it takes away from the contest. It takes away from the whole kind of nature of the contest and what the contest is about and the values of the contest, you know. And it's just changing the whole dynamic, really, and the whole... It just affects everything. It affects the atmosphere. It affects everything. And the credibility of the songs and the artists and things like that. Like last year, you saw the Israeli song last year came second in the end results. But then if you looked at, like, the worldwide streaming, the song was nowhere near... other songs that did less well in the contest last year had better and higher streaming figures globally. So, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
There's a way of gauging it. Yeah, there's a way of gauging it and seeing what's popular. And speaking of that, Seamus, back to the music. Who is going to win it this year? Finland, one of the favourites. What songs do you like? And can we be reliably assured that the UK entry is going to fail miserably yet again?
Probably yes about the UK. I would imagine the UK will probably be in the bottom five and might even come last. When I saw it last night as part of the rehearsal, I did think, oh, that's not going to do well. But we'll
not
see.
Great.
We'll see. Yeah, not great. Finland has always been one of my favourites, or it's been my favourite, and it is the favourite with the bookies as well. I expect it to do well, and it might exactly win, but it has tough competition. Competition this year is kind of wide open. The standard of music is pretty decent, I would say. It's probably a good year in terms of music. So Finland, keep an eye out for France, 17-year-old opera singer, amazing. Denmark has a great pop song, and it's all in Danish, but it's really good. And then Delta Goodrum, who everyone knows from Australia, has a huge music career over the past 20 years. She has a great song as well and should do well. And then you always have kind of the fun songs like Greece and Moldova, great kind of party songs. They should do well as well. But yeah, I would imagine Finland, France, Denmark are probably going to be in the top three or something like that.
Yeah, okay. Interesting one. And isn't it interesting that you know, you have these, like Delta Goodrum you mentioned there. Boy George didn't make it through. He was at San Marino.
No.
Are we going to see more and more, I suppose, of these well-known artists and performers getting involved in Eurovision at various stages of their career, do you think?
I hope so. I would like to see that. I think it's a good thing for the contest when you see well-known, credible artists come into the contest and perform. You know, it's great to see Delta Goodrum come in. I know the Australian Eurovision fans are absolutely delighted. They had been dying and wanting her to enter the contest for a long, long time. So when she said yes, they were all delighted about that, because I suppose they knew what her music catalogue is like. They knew she would come with a decent song that represents her, and it does. It's very much a Delta Goodrum song with a little bit of kind of Eurovision fairy dust sprinkled on it as well. So she has done a great job, and I imagine she will be top five in the final on Saturday. But then, unfortunately, you have the likes of Boy George, you know, another big name to come into the contest, which is great. However, he was just on the San Marino song, and he literally only came in at the last kind of 25 seconds of the song, and that song just wasn't strong enough. I think everyone knew it probably wasn't going to qualify. So, you know, it's not just good enough to have a big name artist come into the contest. You do need a good song. Otherwise, you're just not going to qualify. And we saw that with Boy George and San Marino.
In the end, it's all about the music. Seamus, do you think people will be watching in Ireland? The figures will be interesting to see. I don't know if they're separated out in the BBC. Will it be hard to know how many people will be tuning in because of that, the TAM ratings, but that there will be a lot of people who will still tune in to hear Graham Norton describe it. And spare a thought for poor Marty Whelan. What's he going to do this year?
Yeah. Marty is out of job for a year. I know. Yeah, God love him. From the Irish perspective, yes, you know, you can watch it on maybe the BBC and Angela. Great to hear Angela Scanlon and Graham Norton, obviously, as part of the commentary on the BBC. You know, viewers, fans can also watch it on the Eurovision YouTube channel. So if you want to watch it, you can. There are ways to watch it. But I do know a lot of Irish fans are, you know, deciding to to turn off the TV this year and won't be watching it in protest and in boycott. And you know, that's up to everyone and to do what they think and feel is right for themselves. But the Irish viewers can still watch it on BBC and on the Eurovision YouTube channel. But yeah, it I am and will be interested to see about the viewing figures kind of on Sunday and into next week.
Who knows what's going to happen on the Strait of Hormuz or what's going to happen in Lebanon or Gaza between now and next year, Seamus? But will the Eurovision ever get back to normal? Will it be ever allowed to get back to normal or affected by global events? That's the big question, isn't it? It's a hard one to answer.
A huge question, and it's impossible. You know, who's got a crystal ball to answer that one? But I imagine we're probably in for a kind of a bumpy 2 or 3 years with Eurovision until we see what happens kind of geopolitically. And unless the EBU also makes some kind of drastic kind of decisions and changes as well. I did see earlier in the week that there was a discussion, I don't know how true this was now, there was a discussion that the EBU might ask Israel to join Eurovision Asia, which is actually starting in November. They're doing a new Eurovision Asia, and that will begin in November. And there was something mentioned that maybe the EBU might ask Israel to join that version of the contest. So I don't know. It's really hard to tell. We will see. But I would say we probably are in for a bumpy couple of years with Eurovision. And who knows whether Ireland will be back in it next year or not.
Yeah, Eurovision going global. Okay, Seamus, listen, thanks for taking the time to talk to us and good luck for the rest of the weekend. Thanks for giving us your review on us this morning. That's Seamus O'Neill there, and you can listen to his podcast, I'm Sorry, 0 Points, wherever you get your podcast. Brilliant analysis and all of it there.